Good morning. Have you ever noticed that 9:30 Mass almost never starts at 9:30? It's because there's almost nobody here at 9:30. And that's because most people have trouble getting out of bed on Sunday morning. And that's because most people party too late on Saturday night. I see a couple of, no, that ain't the reason, but. If you get a good party going, you are reluctant to bring it to a stop, even if you've got church in the morning, even if you've got to go to work in the morning, whatever. Well, the same thing goes on liturgically. We've spent 50 days celebrating the dying and rising of the Lord. Last week we brought that party to an end, but nobody feels like going home. Especially since once we get back to ordinary time, because Easter was so early this year, we're going to have a long stretch of ordinary time. So we keep the party going a little bit longer. We have Trinity Sunday this week. We have Corpus Christi next week. Keep the party going. It's like the old Irishman who died, was laid out at home. And the second night of the wake, well, his wife cornered one of his friends and said, you know, Jake and I talked about almost everything, but this is one thing we never talked about. Did he talk to you? You were close to him. Did he tell you? You know, what would he want to be buried or cremated? And he looked at her and said, Molly, as well as I know Jake, I'm sure of his answer to that question. He'd want you to have him stuffed to keep the party going. While we keep the party going with the Feast of the Trinity, which might just as well fall now. I mean, there's no particular reason why it needs to fall now. It could fall any time because it sort of fits any time. The Trinity is a part of our experience of the faith that runs throughout everything, could therefore be added to the calendar at almost any time. It's also, of course, perversely enough, the source of most of our theological confusion and many of our ecclesiastical differences. Theologians have wrestled with it forever, trying to figure out precisely how to phrase the mystery. And churches have fought over it forever and divided again over how it is proper to speak of the Trinity. Although, every once in a while, a glimpse of sanity dawns. In the 12th century, Jacob Bar Hebraeus, a wonderful theologian of the non-Chalcedonian Assyrian Church of the East. These are Oriental Orthodox. They're the other side of Eastern Orthodox. Said, you know, this is all much more debate about words than about faith. When you get right down to it, despite the use of different words in different contexts and different translations, which of course makes it even more complicated, what we're all trying to say is very simple. We all believe, we and you Orthodox, and even those Catholics over there, you know, there weren't any Protestants yet, but that whole spectrum. What we're all trying to say is that we believe that Jesus is completely one with us in the fullness of our humanity and completely one with God in the fullness of God's divinity and is still only one person. And that in God we experience the Father and the Son and the Spirit differently, but there is still only one God. Now, how you wrestle that into words and pin it down exactly is a matter for theologians. But on the faith, we're all saying the same thing. You know, he was right. I cannot, without lapsing, I'm sure, into execrable heresy, tell you precisely how to define the word person in the sense that the word person is used in Trinity and the word nature as it is used in Trinity. But it perhaps doesn't matter very much, except to a small cast of professional theologians for whom it shall be an infinite source of topics for PhD and STD dissertations. But for us, it's like Jacob Bar Hebraeus said, it's our experience of God. This is the way we experience God. We experience God, first of all, within our own hearts, helping us to resonate to certain religious experiences and ideas. It is because I recognize the Spirit within me that the gospel makes sense to me in a way that some other things don't. It is because I experience the Spirit praying in my heart that I understand who the Abba of Jesus is. All of our experiences in the Spirit. Our experience of God, likewise, is through Christ. You can philosophically come to a fairly good starting point for God. And there are plenty of religions in the world will give you deep spiritual insight into the divinity. But you will only know the Father as Father through the Son as Son. It is only Jesus' experience of God that is given to us that puts the Spirit in our hearts crying out, Abba, Father. So we experience God through the Spirit in the Son. And that tells us that God is in God's self like that. As Karl Rahner said, the way we experience the Trinity is the way the Trinity experiences the Trinity. What do we experience? We experience that God is poured out in our hearts, in the Spirit. And when we reflect on Jesus, we'll find no better explanation than what that wonderful old hymn in the second chapter of Philippians, that although he was equal to God, he did not consider that something to cling to, but poured himself out, emptied himself, taking on our human flesh, even unto death on a cross. Jesus pours himself out over us. And we see the Father pouring out the Father's own being on us through Christ in the Spirit. And that's who God is in God's self. The essence of the Father is to not just to be infinite. Anybody could be infinite. The essence of the Father is to pour out God's infinity in the Son and in the Spirit. And they in turn pour out their being upon each other. This wonderful dance among the three of them, the Greek fathers called perichoresis, dancing around together. Isn't that an indecorous image for God? Don't you love it? The Father, the Son, and the Spirit dancing around each other, in each other, pouring themselves out on each other. This is the essence of God's life. And this is to be the essence of our life as well. And that's where the mystery of the Trinity connects with the question of healing. Healing, you know, is different from curing. Diseases get cured. People get healed. And what heals people is someone pouring out themselves upon that person. Was listening to a good theologian, Martin Marty, at a graduation earlier this week. And he told an anecdote of a friend who was talking about his physician. She cured me. She was great. But she didn't heal me. She never looked me in the eye. That's the difference. Now, they're related. You can be cured without being healed. You can be healed without being cured. We'd like them to come together. And sometimes they do. They come together here in the gospel. Frequently we hear of Jesus healing people and they are cured as well. And with the multifaceted nature of both the cause and the cure of disease. Sometimes healing of the spirit is just enough to push the body over to the edge, to the side of cure. But our mission, except for those of you who are medical professionals, doctors and nurses and therapists, our mission is not to be in the curing business. But the mission of all of us is to be in the healing business. The mission of all of us is to look each other in the eye. The mission of all of us is to pour out ourselves upon each other the way God pours God's self out on us. Martin Luther follows Augustine in the whole idea about original sin, but he gives it a very profound theological twist. He says the essence of it is not inheriting guilt from Adam. The essence of it is not the apple that was eaten. The essence of it is that we are incurvatus in se, curled in upon ourselves. And that's original sin. Despite being made in the image and likeness of God, we are still like something made out of something that wants to spring back, and we want to curl back in upon ourselves. And that's original sin. And what God is, the Trinity is the profound pouring out, the opening up, and the pouring out of ourselves upon each other. So on this feast, let's reflect on our own experience of God. Find that God pours God's self out upon you, upon me, upon us all. In the Spirit, through the Son, to the Father. That's how we pray. At least that's how we pray when we come together. We don't always pray that way privately. I know Catholics who were raised in traditional Catholic households who almost never pray in a Trinitarian way. In fact, almost never pray to God at all. They pray to Mary. They pray to various saints. They pray to various angels. They pray various sets of prayers. But they almost never pray in a Trinitarian form. I know many Protestant folks who were raised in conservative Protestant households who almost never pray in a Trinitarian form. They pray to Jesus. Jesus is the word that comes out of their mouth more than any other all day long and probably all night long as well. But they don't pray to the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit. There are plenty of modern Pentecostal type folks who pray in the Spirit and experience God that way. And when you listen to them, you can tell that they're praying in the Spirit because otherwise it's gibberish. But you don't hear any mention of the Father or the Son. So frequently we miss the boat on that individually. But that's okay. God knows what we're saying. It says so in Scripture. When we do not know how to pray as we ought, the Spirit within us prays. But when we pray as a people, we always pray the way we live. To the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit. Listen to the Eucharistic prayer. We'll use the simple one this morning. The structure stands out. It's addressed to the one that Jesus calls Abba. And when it comes to the end in all its forms, it comes through him, with him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. That's the way we experience our God in our lives. That's the way we pray to our God in our liturgy. That's the way we know God is in God's self. And that's the way we are called to be. To pour ourselves out upon one another, the way the Father pours out the Son and the Spirit, the way the Spirit and the Son reveal the Father, all dancing around within themselves and for us as well. And if we do that, if we pour ourselves out upon each other, the way the divine persons pour themselves out upon each other and upon us, then we will find that we have become, in fact, agents of God's healing for ourselves, for each other, for the world. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.